This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer. I'm Poonam Verma. Today, we're talking about the added pressures that a couple has from having not one, but two children of determination and how they keep the marriage together. As a parent, how do you handle your anger when the kids are driving you crazy? We find out from Joanne Jewell, a parenting coach. Author Giselle Onanian is back in the studio, and this time she has her third book all about Elfie and Oak. And Kareem from KidZap is here. If you're still trying to find ways to keep those kids busy, he's got some great ideas, activities, and summer camps.
Family Matters.
Now, before most of us get married, we have these romantic ideas or images of what we think it will look like. The ideas are influenced by our parents, society, and even films that we actually watch. But everyone's relationship is different, and every couple will tell you it's never smooth sailing all of the time. Now, let's bring children into the picture. That in itself adds a whole new set of pressures, responsibilities, as well as joy. But for my next couple, they have had an added pressure because they're the parents of two twin boys who have autism. Welcome to the show, Ambreen and Suheb. How are you doing today?
Yeah, we are doing good.
Ambreen, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, again. You've been on the show before and you've shared your thoughts and opinions and what you're going through. And I liked it because you contacted me and you said, I think it's good to get Suheb, your husband, on to talk about it from a father, a husband and a man's point of view. And so thank you for coming on. A lot of men wouldn't. So I really appreciate that, Suheb.
Thank you. I'm excited. Yeah.
OK, he's got a big smile on your face. Let's hope he walks out with one too. So let me ask both of you, what age were you when you got married? Around what age?
I was 28.
Mm-hmm. I was 25.
Okay. Yeah. So did you have an image of what your future would look like and what marriage would look like and like most young people?
Yes, like everyone. We thought like there will be things that we will do. We discussed about it. We got chance to discuss before marriage.
Yeah.
And then I think we were engaged for 6-7 months and we talked a lot about our future. We made plans. And then it's how it started.
What kind of plans were you thinking about to do in the future? Was it like traveling or living abroad, working, doing what?
Living abroad wasn't in the plans. It actually happened. But all we were thinking was we will travel the world. Actually, after getting married, we traveled to Malaysia. And that's how we started. And we said, okay, we will travel the world together, maybe with kids in future as well. So traveling was because both of us were very excited about travel. We haven't seen many places. Yeah. That's why we said, okay, we will go together in many places.
So how long were you married until you had the kids?
I think we had kids after 2.5 years.
2.5 years. And tell everybody a little bit how long it took to realize something wasn't quite right with the kids or there was something going on with them, Ambreen.
I think it was around after 6 months, I'd say. Yeah, 6 months that there was something wrong. Because, you know, as I say, we know how normal kids, they bloom. So they were missing milestones. There is where we started. I was noticing it more because obviously, you know, mothers are more.
So you were more at home. Were you working?
Yeah. No, I was not working.
So you were at home, so you'd notice it a lot more. Yeah. What about you, Suheb? Did you notice anything or did you think they're just kids?
No, I didn't notice, but I was in a denial that, okay, it's not happening. Maybe they need more time and they will be normal with things.
That's the thing. It's natural instinct. You want your child just to be okay. So denial, I personally think that's a normal thing. I've been in denial for a lot of things throughout my life, so it's normal. So you went to work, so you didn't have to deal with it all the time, I suppose, for the first several hours. What did you notice, though, when you were around them?
So I started noticing delays in their development goals. So, for example, my sister had kids. I have been with them when they were young, they were born. So I know how kids usually develop their skills. But with them, I was noticing, okay, they have not started sitting at the right time. And then they were not able to stand up on their feet. Mm. So those things, when I started noticing, I got an idea that there is something wrong. But still, there were many people, like my parents used to say, my parent-in-laws used to say, they take time. there are cases in the family who took time, so most probably they will start working. But it's like when they reached 2 years, we started getting more worried about it. We thought we'll go to some doctor and start taking some advice from them. Is there something wrong? And that's where it all came to know that, okay, they are autistic and they have this special need.
Okay, so when you actually found out, Saheb, what did you feel or what went through your head at the time when the doctor said this is their diagnosis? Did you know what autism was?
Not that much. I just heard about it. First thing I started doing with my wife was we started learning more about it through website, through Google, and what is this, how we can come up with this situation and how we can come out of this situation, what help my kids need now. And as soon as we start exploring it, it worries me because you need a lot of help. You need a lot of help medically, financially, and then to keep them in the normal setup, it was very difficult.
So as a father, as a husband, the caretaker of the family, what kind of pressure did you initially feel, and were you able to share it with Amreen?
Initially, because when we thought like, okay, this thing will require them a lot of therapies, a lot of support, right? We started visiting certain centers and they used to tell us that 8 hours a week, you need to keep them in those therapies. And I said, okay, that's fine. But when they talked about financial aspect of it, I mean, I was starting thinking how we will do it in a long term. And then it wasn't something that you have to do within 1 month, 2 months or 3 months. It's a lifelong thing. And then I started thinking, okay, we need to think about something where we can sustain all of these therapies for them. And that's where we started looking at different options. And it's continuous process. Like every day when we sit, we talk about it, like we are doing something now, how we can continue this in future. So I continuously plan around things, okay, whatever they need, how can I give to them? If something they are not getting, okay, how we can make it available for them? So pressure-wise, it's more financial initially.
Yeah.
And then in Dubai, we were not aware of like how much help is available in terms of these therapies and those things. But now I realize after visiting back my home country that we are in a better place. Okay. They are getting a lot of help here. Mm. There's a lot of awareness. Also in the society and community, there's a huge acceptance around autism and special need kids.
Mm.
Still, there are areas where, like Amreen used to talk about it, things where we need to teach the normal kids and maybe have more awareness around them. But still, I think it's a lot better here than as compared to some of the other places in the world.
Amreen, you were telling me he was very opposite to you, but he seems to have, is he just putting a good light on himself? He seems that he handled it fairly well. You tell me the other side. What's your side?
I think, no, this is how, whatever he said, it's right that we talked. But when I say that we're poles apart, as I always say, he's more on the quieter side. He's planning in his head. And sometimes I'll just, you know, I'm more on the venting side. You know, I talk.
I think it's a man and woman thing mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, if I put it like this, I'm very optimistic. So whenever she comes up with something that, okay, we need to sort it out, I will say it will happen.
That's
she
so
will
good.
Be more worried than, no, it won't happen, right?
But that's very good to stay positive. I mean, you've got a smile on your face as you're talking all the time. So I feel, and you know, it's funny, I'm very good at feeling energy. Your energy doesn't feel heavy.
Yeah.
When I hug Amreen every time I see, I can feel as a mother, you know, there's worry all the time. And my mum always says, you know, it doesn't matter if you are 30, 40, 50, 60, you're still someone's child.
Family matters.
How old are the boys now, Amreen?
They're 8.3.
Okay, how are they doing right now?
Oh, they're really bored these days because of vacations.
You must have to keep them extra entertained as well all the time.
Yeah, I say this line for them, the freer, the crazier. If they're busy, they're fine. But when keeping them together, engaged with a 3-year-old as well, because we have another boy, it's very difficult. I mean, I get tired sometimes, but it's going on.
It's interesting because I was reading a story about this 70-year-old lady, and she said she realized many years later she had autism because it wasn't detected then. And they just called her very quirky. That was the word, very weird and quirky. And that was it. But now there's a label on it and, you know, people are recognizing it. Is there any treatment for it at all?
No, not right now.
How long have they been researching treatment for autism? Is it not many years?
It's just recently started. Mm. It's not very long. Like, it was there. I think it was there in our parents' age as well, but people didn't know about it. Like, you know, they didn't know the label. And because when I talk to my parents and, you know, my grandparents and everybody, they say, yeah, there were people like these who were different.
Yeah, but did you, because this lady said, who was 70, she said, you know, you can be on the spectrum. And when they did some tests, they realized someone in the family was on the spectrum. Yeah. So is it passed down sometimes and some it's more noticeable in others?
Yeah, to me, if you ask me, everybody has a different opinion. I don't think so, you will agree, but I think it's more genetic and then the environmental factors come in, yeah.
What do you think, Saheb?
I mean, there are different views. I mean, genetic, yes, okay, I agree, but maybe it has started somewhere, right? You never know.
Did anybody in the family get tested as well?
There's no test.
So
there's no test whatsoever. It's just observing the behavior.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. And have you seen any kind of that behavior in anyone in the family?
Yes, but it was never called as autism.
Okay.
Like, you know, they were not, awareness was not there.
Yeah.
Like he had, like, if I talk about Suhaib, the more I get to know about the family, you know. My mother-in-law, she tells me that she had a sister, she had kids. They were physically and mentally both disabled, but she was like, it was not called autism. It was something different. But I think it existed, but the label was not there. The awareness was not there. So right now, more people are talking about it. So the moment you see something off in your child, you're like, okay, there is something wrong. And then thanks to Google and YouTube and the internet, you just put it in. You're like, okay, there's something wrong.
So for some, this situation can bring couples closer or the pressure can push them further apart. How has it been for you? Have you been through stages?
Yes, I was just talking to him in the car that it's a journey, you grow. I mean, when our twins are first born, so, you know, you have plans, you have dreams. Okay, I'm going to do this with my child. I'm going to make him a doctor. I'm going to travel with him. The moment you get the diagnosis, that dream is kind of shattered.
I know.
And you take a lot of time. And then, you know, husband and wife are not siblings, so they're very different. And each person has his own coping mechanisms when it comes to depression and stress. So we both were, you know, obviously it was very difficult because it was two. And he went quiet. And I was more on the talking side. I used to talk to my parents and even him. What will we do? And, you know, he is the man with a plan, but he's on the quieter end. He's like, okay, I'll do. But I'm like, if you're thinking about something, let's talk. Communication is, I'd say that's the biggest difference. I believe in communicating
But have you always been a little bit quiet, or are you not a big talker?
Yeah, you can say not a big talker. But during this situation, I was just thinking that the more I will talk, the more depression or frustration I will create across all family members. So I did inform everyone, but I started immediately thinking about, okay, what we need to do now.
Yeah, you want to fix it.
Yeah,
what can you do? So, Ambreen, you have an Instagram page called The Warrior Mommy where you share your thoughts. You're trying to create a community for parents in similar positions. Saheb, we always hear about men, you know, not opening up as much, not being as vulnerable, sharing their feelings. Who do you go to if you want to talk to somebody, or don't you go to anybody?
I want to know the answer so bad.
Yes, we're going to try and sort this out. She wants to know the answer.
Mostly friends.
So you have good friends that you can open up to and talk to?
Yes. And that's the good part. I mean, I have friends from my college life, university life. They're still in touch. And even without me sharing all this with them, they immediately noticed something in me and they asked about it. So I will say I've been lucky, right? I have friends who have understood the situation and they usually call and talk about these things. But I usually talk with her, but she seems to always have this feeling that I'm not talking more about it. But as I said, I tried my best to not create more depression for her or more worries for her. That's what I'm usually trying to take care of.
Family Matters.
Thank you for your text, Julie. Now, Julie said, Ambreen, have you thought about changing the food, the kind of food they eat, Amigas? And I've heard about this because my friend's young daughter also has autism. She was playing around with her food. What do you say about that? How does it affect them?
I think with food, it's very tricky because the major concern all parents have is they're very picky eaters. I mean, it took us a lot of time to, you know, get them on the right food. They were on like smoothies and smoother pureed food. So I totally agree. Food does play a role, especially, you know, right now you have so much preservatives in the food. So with us, you know, our kids, they don't drink water.
They don't drink water?
Yeah, you have to mix something in it.
Okay.
They're trying hard, but it's this one crazy juice that they drink. It's from my country. It has a lot of color in it. It has a lot of sugar. You're trying to get rid of it, but it's just that it has to be, you know, you have to like put in the food very slowly, gradually.
Do they like watermelon? That has a lot of water in it.
No, I have to stuff it. Like, I'm such a pie.
Because, you know, it's trying to find fruits or foods that have a lot of water content in them.
See, they had a lot of sensory issues when I talk about my twins. So chewing food and certain textures, they were not okay with it. But initially I used to make a smoothie and I give it to them. Now I make small bites. Like, you know, they can pick it up and they can eat. They have started mango and, you know, the soft foods.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle, but I totally believe you should be putting them on multivitamins and everything because they're not getting the nutrition because they're not eating everything.
True.
You know, chicken, meat, everything. That's such a struggle with us.
Okay. Pam says, my son is autistic, but very gifted. He was delayed in speech, but also turned out to be highly gifted in math, science and visual spatial awareness. He's an amazing mixture of brilliance, love and frustration. Can you relate to that?
Yes.
What do you see that's special in the kids? Because I've heard about this with the autistic kids.
In my experience, not all of them, but few of them, yes. Like one of our twins is into music. He loves pianos. He loves musical instruments and I'm planning to, you know, get him on that track. So a few of them, they are gifted. But not all of them. This is a very big misconception. But they are pure. They're beautiful. And the way they express their love and emotions, it's just another level. I mean, we even cannot do that. So,
have you guys had to have any kind of marriage therapy, couple therapy to deal with this? Or have you managed to deal with it yourself?
We thought about it, but I don't know if we are lucky or, as I say, you grow in this journey.
Yeah.
So we have grown. Like initially, we used to fight. I remember arguments, fights, everything. But somehow we manage. And touch wood, I don't know. This is we are no a perfect couple, but somehow we manage out of every situation where I think I'll have a nervous breakdown. He'll just come over and take over things.
Does Saheb, do you generally stay calm or...
Yes.
I feel like
I have to.
Oh, you have to. Does he have a short temper anytime?
He, very rarely, but he's on the calmer side.
Yeah,
I'm the storm.
You see, I'm looking at you both, right? And I know you, Ambreen, and I've met you now a few times. But I'm looking at Saheb and I feel a very calming energy around him. He's got a gentle smile on his face. And I think the way he's dealing with it is really helping you. I don't think you would want him to be like you because I understand why he's saying don't talk too much, because in your head, just by looking at your face, I know there's so much going on in your head. And I don't think he wants to add more to that.
Yeah.
So I think
he's the balancer, I'd say. Let's give the credit where it's due. He balances. That is how we have worked our marriage. It's very difficult when you have multiple kids with special needs. But I am the hyper one. I'm like, okay, you know, let's talk about it. Where is the solution? This is the problem. He's the quiet one. Sometimes I'll just tell him, do you have a problem? Can you look me in the eye when I'm talking to you? Literally, I say it every day. He's like, I'm listening. And then after a few days, I know that, okay, he thought of a solution, but he was not very much verbal about it at that time. But he's thinking in his head. But, you know, everybody's different. I believe in talking in... You have a solution in your head, okay, bring it on the table right now and talk about it. He'll take time. And that is how we have balanced. We are very different, but...
I agree. Yeah, I think what worked with us is because she talks more, then I don't need to talk much. So I can take all of that. I think for everyone else who's listening, you need to talk about it. I mean, if both the partners are not talking to each other, then it's a problem, right?
Communication is the key.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of couples will say, oh, we need to have like every Friday night away from the kids. We need to carve time for ourselves. Are you able to do that? And do you make an effort to do that?
I put in a lot of effort. Okay, I do.
We do try. She always tells me, let's try and plan this out. But now with kids, it's difficult because even if we try and manage to go out, we always keep thinking about them. And it
happened. Do you know what? Even if they weren't autistic, you would still keep thinking about them. It's just being a parent, full stop.
Initially, I was very enthusiastic about it. Okay, we have a date night. You should have a date night. But with the passage of time, I have learned that sitting down together, watching anything on TV when it's quiet in the house, having chocolate together.
It's time together. It's calm.
Now, gradually, I've learned it because, you know, everyone wants to enjoy life. You see typical couples around and you're like, you know, I wish I could do that.
So what is it that you wish you could do that you can't when you look at other couples?
Traveling.
So it's going to be very difficult to travel with the kids.
We travel, right? I was just telling him, like, we maybe have 3-4 years because then they're going to grow up physically and it will be difficult for us to manage. Touchwood, you know, they're not that, like, I'd say bad during travel, but still it's difficult. Traveling, because we both love it and we've not done it because kids are our priority. I think after some time, the husband and the wife role, it takes back and the mother and the father comes out more. Yeah. So kids, sometimes, you know, I get a little mean and I'm like, okay, let's go for a date night. And he'll be like, no, let's take the kids tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, shut it here.
Oh, dear. So what about your friends around you? Do you have a good community of other friends supporting, like other couples, maybe in similar situations that you can relate to?
I think the community, the support that I have gotten from the special parents around me, it's beautiful. It's amazing. There are so many. I've learned so many things from. You can relate. I have a friend. I only go to her place. In peace, I sit down. She has a kid on the spectrum as well. Mm. And they can jump around. And she's like, okay, let them do whatever they want. Just chill, you know. And I go out with her. We have this plan, I tell you. She tells me we'll go out once a month to any favorite restaurant, pick it up. Don't talk about autism. Don't talk about the kids. We'll just enjoy. And with the normal friends that we have very few, but we are very lucky. They are very understanding. We do barbecues with them. And, you know, we are at a park and we just tell them, okay, they're having a bad time. So close your ears maybe for some time.
Yeah.
And they're very understanding. We are very lucky. And the beautiful part is that they didn't know about autism as well until, you know, we told them. Mm. And now they're educating their kids as well.
A lot of people say that, you know, children of determination should be in normal schools so that other children understand and have compassion for them and are around them and they don't think they're odd or weird. What do you think about that?
I think the idea is good, but it's not easy as it said. So even initially when we were thinking about their school, we thought, okay, let's go to the normal school with a special teacher or assistant with them. We have to think about the normal kids as well because they will see it and they will react to it.
Yeah.
Probably the best idea would be we should train these kids. If there are not major behaviors and hitting or pinching to other kids, then they can go to normal school and be taught there with the kids.
I think the approach has to be really realistic here. When you talk about inclusion, this is what I have seen in the last 5-6 years. You have to look at your child as well. If your child is at the severe end, you need to calm him down through the therapies first and then think of putting him in a normal school, because parents get really overwhelmed and emotional, you know, when it comes to sending your child to mainstream school. Like, we are very clear now after struggling with mainstream schools, and now we see it in our kids that they are not made for mainstream schools, and I am not in that race. We are out of it.
Yeah.
You know, settle down with the reality, and then inclusion has to be really realistic as well, because people get really emotional when they talk about inclusion. If your child is very severe, prioritize. Like, therapy should be your priority first. Calm him down first, and then gradually, it's a very slow process. And when it comes to normal schools, I think the children, they react because they're not aware. So you need to bring awareness in the normal schools. As I have always said, the awareness, we are pretty much aware because we have a child in the house. Our families know somehow. So the awareness has to come out of the typical normal houses, the typical normal schools. They need to talk about it, and they can. Like maybe once a week, there should be presentations. They can do it. So you don't blame the typical children that they are reacting differently because they don't know.
Alex has text saying, I'm autistic and I have moderate support needs. Autism can be very tough at times with sensory issues, meltdowns, self-injuries, behaviours, intermittent difficulty speaking, but it can also be very lovely. My favourite part of being autistic is pure bliss of good sensory input, which is something neurotypicals could never experience. What is that?
I'm just imagining one of my twin, he does it. The way he feels the sand and the wind sometimes, I just look at his face and I'm like, I just want to enjoy it like that. You know, the feel that they have.
Is it like when you taste a lemon for the first time, you know, or something? Everything feels like that to them.
Exactly. And the way sometimes they'll enjoy a few things, we cannot. And I just look at them. They cannot express, they cannot speak. But you can make it by their face that they're enjoying it. I mean, when they you open the window of the car, the way they enjoy the wind is like, it's so beautiful to even look at it. So I totally agree. They are blessed. I mean, the way they will enjoy certain things, even we neurotypicals, we cannot.
Yeah.
It's just that the expression, and you know, they just...
So because they can't express themselves, is that where the frustration comes for them?
Totally.
Yes.
In our case, totally. I totally agree with it.
And with time, we were able to understand, like, okay, what will happen, what they are showing behaviors, okay, what they need, and there are signals. So it's not like they don't able to communicate. It's us also understanding, okay, they are communicating and we need to do it.
Mm.
And every case is different. For our kids, because they are not able to speech, they don't have speech, they don't able to communicate, then they will talk in signals, or they will give you signals, they will show behaviors, and then we have to understand and do it.
Yeah. No, the more I'm talking, the more I'm understanding how they feel. Because I remember I was in a country once and there was nobody around me speaking English and I couldn't express myself and I felt so frustrated.
Yes.
And I felt confused because I'm like, how will I ever express myself? And I understand it just by relating
it's just
to
like that.
Yeah.
And you know, my son, one of my son had a pain in his teeth, and literally all night I was just thinking about it. If somebody puts a tape on my mouth and I have pain somewhere internal and I cannot express it, how will I tell it?
Yeah.
In those days, he had a lot of behavior. He was hitting, he was crying. And initially, I didn't know. One day I was brushing his teeth and I was like, okay, there's a problem here. So sometimes when they are showing behavior, I totally believe that behavior is, they're trying to tell you something. There is always a reason. Here is where you need to train yourself as a parent. You need to educate yourself, learn about their triggers. So right now we know what are their triggers. So we work beforehand, before we, like if there is a mall that triggers them, I'll start working on it from before I leave.
Oh.
So you need to educate, you need to learn, and it's very slow. Gradually you become an expert.
Yeah.
Because you have to be the therapist eventually for your child.
Ambreen, where can people follow you again? Remind us on social media.
My page is The Warrior Mommy.
So people can contact you if they want to chat to you or in their similar positions. And Saheb, any fathers out there listening, what advice or tips would you give them if they're in similar positions to you both?
I think first thing is acceptance. Accept the situation that it has happened and think about future, how you can plan your future. There will be things which will not be easy, but don't lose hope. You can still manage around them. And one other thing even I tell Ambreen is don't compare yourself with anyone, like the life part, because if these things get you frustrated, then the more you think about it, the more you do comparison, you will get more frustrated about it.
We all compare
just think
ourselves.
About your family, your kids, and just see how you can manage them.
Yeah.
Stay calm.
Ambreen, you got a good husband here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much
it
for
was
both
a pleasure,
coming on.
Poonam. And I just want to tell all the couples there, you can do it and only you will do it. There's no one else. Only the parents. If it's the mother, it's equally the dad as well. And you will grow in this journey. If it's difficult right now, it's going to get easier, hopefully. And don't give up, don't let go of hope, and you will breeze through it. Everyone does.
And exactly, and there are good stories. I mean, even in our journey, we have seen people that their kids have become and improved a lot. So
yeah, there are good days, there are bad days.
Yeah.
So if you're having a bad day, good days are on the way.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you both coming in today and sharing your story.
Family Matters.
Now, if you're a parent, the responsibilities never end. There's work stress, financial stress, school stress, physical exhaustion. Pile them all up and a parent's mind would be near to explosion. It's very easy, even if you don't want to, just vent your anger and frustration on your kids. But how does that actually affect them? Now, if you want to share your personal experience and join in this conversation, you can be anonymous. It's fine. Do text us on 4001 or on WhatsApp on 04871 55 00. So how can parents effectively tackle their temper? Let's find out from Joanne Joel, who's a family therapist and parenting educator from Mindful ME. Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Hi, Poonam. Lovely to speak to you today. How are you?
I'm good. Are you sitting outside on Teams right now?
No, I'm sitting in a coffee shop on Teams because I'm travelling
today. Oh, where are you travelling to?
Well, today I'm in Oxford in England.
Yes, that's nice. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, well, I hope you're enjoying your coffee shop. Just sip on that while we have a chat.
Love. We'll do virtual coffee and chat.
Oh,
yeah.
They won't let me have coffee in the studio, but I'll pretend. Right, you enjoy yours. So, Joanne, you're a mum of three boys.
I am.
So, obviously, you're going to speak from personal experience as well. How easy or how frustrating has it been raising three young men?
Well, I don't think any of them will be listening to the show, so I can be completely honest, can't I? Is that true? It's just, you know, just you and me chatting.
It's an honesty. It's just you and me and nobody else.
Yeah, nobody else listening. I would say, in general, I found it extremely difficult at the beginning. And one of the things that happened for me was that I recognized that I did struggle with my own emotions. And as a result of that, that's really the reason that I started practicing mindfulness for myself, because I found it was, you know, we talk about self-care and taking time for ourselves, and that's all great. But the problem is, in the moment, when your children are driving you crazy, which I'm sure a lot of parents have experienced over the summer holidays, you have to have things that you can use in the moment, don't you?
Yeah.
You can't, like, in the middle of, you know, siblings arguing or somebody refusing to cooperate, you can't in that moment go, hang on a minute, I'm just going to go off and do a bit of self-care and then I'll come back and deal with you. Sadly, I wish we could, but we can't.
I know. But the thing is, everyone's in a different situation. You've got single parents raising kids.
Yeah.
You've got parents or moms or dads working full time. So you've got some moms. My mom was at home all the time. You know, maybe we drove her mad all the time. Everyone's situation's different. And I think, you know, as a normal human being, we're going to snap. So snapping is not a problem. I suppose it when it goes beyond snapping, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, the reality is and luckily for us, our children don't need perfect parents. What they need is parents who are aware, I would say, who are self-aware and recognise when they're doing well and recognise when they're not doing so well and take responsibility for their behaviour and don't just keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again, but perhaps recognise, hang on, I'm actually really struggling and I need to do something about this. If we, you know, snap occasionally, that's fine. The most important thing in that moment is to apologise, is to what we call repair the relationship and just say, I'm really sorry. I was angry and it wasn't okay that I shouted.
Yeah.
You know, and let's talk about that.
I mean,
and the best thing about that is we're role modeling how to apologize as well, which is always handy.
And it should be done quickly. I remember, like, I practically brought up my nephew and niece. I was like a second mom to my sister's kids and I loved it. But I realized sometimes I just lose my patience and my sister would say, you really don't have enough patience. And I would have them for 24 hours, right, let's say. And I would snap. And as soon as I snapped, the guilt just was in me. I didn't want them to think of their auntie shouting. I didn't want them to think as an angry person because I'm not. But they can trigger you. What can you do?
Oh. Well, of course, and it's the thing is, it's human nature that we are at times not going to be fully in control of our emotions. So children need to learn from adults what it looks like to have big feelings, to work through those feelings, to take responsibility for those feelings, and to say sorry when we mess up. That's all part of life, isn't it?
But I also think it's good to see your parents vent, because it's important to get your emotions out. If you keep it inside all the time, the children won't learn that too in the future.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between talking about how I feel and processing it and just, you know, that explosion that we do because we haven't talked about our feelings enough. I honestly think one of the main reasons that parents really lose it is because they almost like swallow their feelings over and over and over again, and they don't, you know, go off and just like take a breath for a few minutes, or they don't set a boundary, or they're not clear about what is okay and what isn't okay, and they let things go and they let things go, and then there's just a massive explosion.
You see, I can't set a boundary as an auntie. How do you even do it as a mom? That's where I don't even understand.
Well, you know, the thing is, most of us probably didn't grow up with boundaries. We probably grew up with rules and punishments and rewards. So learning how to set boundaries is a very different skill, and probably the most common skill that I teach parents actually is how to set a boundary when you're calm, rather than waiting until everything's gone wrong and now you've completely lost it and you're shouting and you're punishing. Because that's not a nice cycle for anyone to be in, is it?
No. How can a parent know, or even anyone, you know, like auntie, uncle, grandparent, whatever, where their anger's coming from? Like, sometimes how do you know if it's your own issues or traumas, or you're just exhausted? How can you recognise it in that moment?
Well, there's an amazing resource called the Anger Iceberg. And if anybody wants to Google it, just type into Google Anger Iceberg. And the one of the best infographics I've seen is by Gottman, who is a relationship specialist. And the Anger Iceberg shows us is that at the top of the iceberg, so the bit you see is the anger.
Yeah.
But underneath the sea, that bottom part of the iceberg, which, you know, is the biggest part of the iceberg, is made up of lots of different feelings. And usually we're not aware of those sort of underlying feelings. So we don't deal with them, or we don't process them, whether they're from something that's happening now or something that's been triggered from our past. So all we ever see is the anger. I think it's really useful to have a look at something like the Anger Iceberg. It's the one I use the most. And have a look at the feelings that sit in there. There's things like helplessness, feeling disrespected, feeling overwhelmed, feeling tired, feeling anxious, all of these. And perhaps see if you can start to identify what are the types of feelings I tend to have before I get angry.
Okay.
It's self-awareness.
Self-awareness,
really.
Yeah, totally. Well, stay where you are. We will be back after the break to talk more.
Family Matters.
So, Joanne, we've had a listener send in a message. Take a listen to this.
What about the times when a parent accidentally bursts out because a child is repeatedly disobeying? Will apologizing make the child think that your anger was unwarranted or not justified?
Did you hear that, Joanne?
I did.
And it's similar to what you said, isn't it? Apologize straight away.
Yeah, I think it's also really important to recognize when we use that word disobeying, you know, the thing is with children is they're not born to be compliant creatures who just do whatever we say. And one of the things that I talk to parents a lot about is this idea that if you raise a child to be compliant, and some children will absolutely refuse to be compliant, but others will tend to be more compliant. We call those people pleasers when they're adults.
Yes.
But we don't want to raise compliant children. We want to raise children who are able to cooperate, but who are also able to talk about what they need and what makes them happy and what's important for them, as well as considering other people's needs.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that we struggle with, this concept of compliance and cooperation.
Because they have to find their inner voice in the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to just repeating their parents' voices as they grow older. Who are they as people? What are some of the first signs your child might show to express they're actually being affected by the anger around them?
Well, it's interesting because people often think that children who experience a lot of anger are also angry. Mm. And that could be the case. You may have a child who mimics it, but they may not mimic it at home. They may not feel safe to be angry with their parents, but they might get angry with their siblings. Often you can see the relation, you can see the skills that they're learning playing out in their sibling relationships. You might see it in friendships where they're particularly bossy or very short-tempered. On the other hand, what you might also see is a child who becomes very quiet and very compliant.
Yeah.
Because they want to avoid the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your sort of early, you know, people pleasing signs. Like, I'm just going to keep really quiet because I don't want to make mommy or daddy angry because it's scary when they get angry. So the signs will probably depend quite a lot on the personality of the child as well.
What about nonverbal ways to approach your anger? I remember that, you know, my dad was a very gentle person, but I can count on one hand, if ever I was in trouble, his eyes would, like, from a mile away, I could see them just piercing into me as if to say, you're in trouble. And that was enough. I didn't need to hear anything else. What about nonverbal ways? What would you use?
It's the same thing. If a child is scared, the most important thing in here is we don't want our children to be scared of us. You know, if you think about the chemical reaction in a child's brain when they're in fear, they're not developing, they're not able to be curious. And even if they behave, they're not cooperating, they're complying because they're scared.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the difference.
And I feel like if I was scared, I probably would just hide away or shut up. I wouldn't express myself.
Well, again, children are all different. Some children will do that. Other children will escalate it. Mm. And you know, there's lots of research around how the brain develops, particularly in the early years. And we don't want children's brains developing through fear. Mm. Now, I don't want to exaggerate here. And I know for most parents, for the vast majority of families and people listening, that's not what their children are experiencing. They're not experiencing a constant state of fear. Even so, if you recognize that you are a parent who regularly gets angry, who regularly struggles to manage your own emotions, that, A, it's not great for your children, but it's also not nice as a parent, as an adult, to feel that way, to be living with those big feelings sitting inside you. So it's a sign often that there is something unresolved, probably in your own life, that you may wish to deal with and you may want to go and talk to somebody about.
So let's just say, you know, your child or your children right now, you know, they're driving you up your nerve to the other side of the world right now. What are the first two or three tips you'd give us? Just the top tips to approach that in that moment, just to calm down a little bit.
I would say the first thing to do is, like, take some really deep breaths yourself. And I'm not talking about, little meditation breaths. I mean some really big, deep breaths. You know, anger stored in our bodies. Mm. So moving your body, even just getting up and, you know, walking around or just giving a little shake. Have you seen, you know, when dogs, like, shake. Are stressed and when they shake?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the ways dogs release stress from their body is by shaking.
I didn't know that.
So just by having a little shake.
Or a little dance.
or a little dance. Yeah. I mean, music is a great way to, like, you know, deflect, you know, to release anything like that. So, you know, taking some really big breaths. Like, sometimes my kids would say, "Mummy, why are you sighing? Like, what's the matter?" And I'm like, "I'm just breathing." You know, like, taking some really big breaths. Yeah. If you can, if it's safe to leave your children for a minute, walk out of the room, go and get a drink of water, just, like, you know, calm yourself down. But it's important to remember, it's not just calming your mind down. It's really our bodies that react the quickest to anger. So anything that calms your body down, and breathing, just shaking, having a little dance, you know, I know it's a bit difficult moment to go, and I would say putting your, you know, if you can, go and stand on earth or sand or grass or the beach. Anything.
Yes, totally. Yep. Or do what you're doing right now, sit in a cafe and have a nice cup of tea. That's what you need to do. Yeah. Joanne, it's been a pleasure. We're running out of time, but thank you so much. And I think we should definitely get you back on, and we'll talk about some more things when it comes to parenting and kids. So have a lovely day in Oxford.
You too, Pinam. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
darling.
Bye-bye.
Family Matters.
So this week was Book Lovers Day, so it's time to invite another author on the show, of course. She's returning to talk about her second and third book from the series called Elfie and Oak. Welcome once again, Giselle Onanian, which is an Armenian name, I found out. And I asked her, are you related to the Kardashians? And she said,
no,
with a big smile on her face.
Thank you for having me.
How have you been? I know you've been on before a few months ago with Helen. Yep. How have you been?
Yeah, good, good. Enjoying the summer. Not so much the heat, but
Here all summer? Are you going away?
Here all summer.
You're doing well in the AC. Okay, so give us all some background for those of us who've never heard of your book series, Elfie and Oak. What is it actually about?
So Elfie and Oak, Elfie is a little expat boy, and he, along with his little sidekick, Oak, which is a dog, it's basically about growing up as an expat child, third culture kid in a home away from home. So the series kind of explores things that we come up, you know, that come up in our lives as expat children. So moving to a new country, living away from family, having friends come and go in that sort of transient lifestyle that you get sort of living up, growing up or living in the UAE. And the series of three kind of explores those and they're conversation starters between the children and their parents on, you know, why things are the way they are, living in an expat lifestyle.
So what age group is it for?
It's aimed at around 5 to 8 years old, though my son is 3.5 and he loves them. The illustrations are amazing. So they're very sort of captivating anyway. So even if it's, you know, mum and dad reading it, the illustrations are nice to follow and look at as well. So
did you start writing it when you had children or before?
I did, when I had children.
So they're the ones. So also, tell me a little bit about you, because I'm assuming being an expat in Dubai, I feel like you've been here a while. Did it carve and inspire your stories as well?
It did. So I've been here now 30 years. Well, February will be 30 years.
Wow. How old were you when you came? Like, did you come with your parents then?
Yes. So I was 4 years old.
You really did grow up here.
And I thought we were coming for the summer. My dad
30 years ago.
Exactly.
Long summer.
Never went home. My dad got a new job with the airline. So he moved out here and then we kind of followed a couple of months later. And been here ever since, like I said, 30 years ago, things very different, looked very different. And though my sort of family has, you know, since retired and moved back to the UK, this for me is very much home. And obviously now raising my own children here. And I just wanted stories that kind of told, you know, spoke about that expat lifestyle. So reading stories to my kids, you know, there are so many children's books that I love and I absolutely consume them. We read about 3 or 4 a night. But, you know, I was thinking about writing in it and it was like, well, there aren't any stories actually for expat children. And inspired by my life and now the life that I'm giving my children, I thought, well, let's put these in a book and you know, appeal to other expat children.
I've only been here compared to 15 years.
That's still a long time.
It's still a long time compared to most, but 30 years is a long time. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen that have been for the better here growing up?
For the better, I mean, there is so much opportunity here. And there was back then, don't get me wrong, but I feel now there is more opportunity. And that's, you know, in terms of career growth, in terms of schooling, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of activities to do, you know, how to, things for families, things for couples, things for singles. There's something for everyone in Dubai. And I think it's so great. And there's so much culture here and the mix of cultures and backgrounds that you can learn from or, you know, interact with and just, I just think it's great.
So I want to go your second book came out, I think, this year in February.
My first book came out in February.
Second book?
June.
And third book?
October.
You're on a roll. I tell everyone it takes me 4 years. I haven't even written one book. I'm trying. It's taking me years. How do you write them so fast? Does it come very easy or you're very strict with your routine?
It was suppose it came quite easy, actually. And I hate to say that because a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to write a book and then they go do it. But it's, I love words and I write, you know, on a daily basis. I'm a copywriter, sort of a day job. And it was, I had the idea in my head and it just went from there. And I think I actually wrote the second book first. And I ended up writing four books at once. And by the time, you know, sort of wrote them, reviewed them, kind of tweaked them again. And I obviously working during the day and having two kids, I wrote at nighttime, and that's at nighttime I always get my inspiration.
So. Wasn't that like J.K. Rowling? Didn't she do that?
So.
Yeah,
I think she wrote in a cafe.
Yeah, in a cafe. Yeah, you're right. Or when the kids were asleep, I remember something like that. But when you wrote them, did you have in mind, because so many people do self-publishing now, did you think, I want to go down that route, or I know what publisher I want to go to? And was it easy to get it seen by a publisher?
I knew I wanted to go down a publisher route. I didn't want to do the self-publishing. Purely because I think, you know, going with a publisher, they know the business better than anyone else.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend that I know the business. And I've learned so much as an author from them as well. So I think that's great. I think here it's very, there are certain routes to go down, say, if you're in the US or the UK. Here is a bit different. And it was very hard trying to get in front of a publisher. I did look at trying to do it from the UK as well. But the topic and the subject of the books are so niche that, you know, a publisher in the UK aren't looking for something that relates to quite a small community, whereas here, everyone, almost everyone, is an expat. So it kind of appeals. So, yeah, I went down the publisher route and found a local publisher here.
Do you read to the kids to the in the schools as well, I hear? Do you? What's that about? Tell me how that started.
So I just, you know, I mean, I can promote children's books on Instagram. The kids aren't on Instagram. Their parents are, but the kids aren't. So I thought, well, I want to get in front of those children and also the teachers as well, because, you know, they, and the topics that are explored within the books are good to, you know, lessons that they can sort of implement, and they can talk about the books and talk about the themes around the books as well. So the first school I actually went to was Dubai English Speaking School, which was actually the school that I went to when I came. And it was so nice to sort of walk back through those gates as, you know, however many years later. To be honest, though, I looked like I was in year six. I'm quite, for those that can't see me, I'm quite small. So I did look like I belonged there. But
with your backpack.
Still, yeah, with my backpack. And it was so nice just to go back. And I read to, I think it was year one and year two, and, you know, engaged with the children. And we spoke, I wrote this read the second book, which is Can We Go and See Nana? And we spoke about their families. We spoke about their grandparents, what they like to do with their grandparents, you know, who's going to go see them over the summer. And it was just nice to engage with, you know, sort of the reader.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, I'm hoping to do more of them in the future and visit the schools and the libraries and where the kids are, basically.
So I have a feeling if you can write three or four books literally in the space of several months, it's not even the end of the year, there's more in the pipeline, right?
There is.
And you already have those ideas, or you already started writing them?
I have the ideas. They're in my head. I kind of go through a process where it kind of bubbles in my head for a while. It will be on my notes app on my phone. It will be on a piece of paper scribbled somewhere. And then when the inspiration strikes, I'll sit down and it will hopefully just flow.
But, have you written anything with Alfie and Oak about being stuck in a pandemic and being with mommy and daddy in the house all day?
No, because I don't know if that would be a children's book or if that would be, that would be more for the parents.
So where can we get your books from?
So they're available in bookstores around the UAE. They're in Magruder's, they're Bookworm, Virgin Megastore, and then also online, Amazon, Mum's World, and UK as well, and the US, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones.
Everywhere. Everywhere. And if we want to follow you online or at Instagram, where's the best place to go?
Instagram, Giselle Onanian, and I post sort of updates on there and teasers for the third book as well, so... Yeah.
You'll have to come in and do a little read for us one day, like a 2-minute read. Here you go, Poonam. Today is the afternoon school meeting. Is that how you do it? How do you do it with that voice?
Yeah, a little bit. It's more gentle.
Can you give me a line? Alfie and Oak got stuck in a tree.
So the beginning of Can We Go See Nana is, "Can we go and see Nana?" I said to my mum. "Not today, sweet darling," she replied, a bit glum or something like that. It's just a bit sweeter for the children.
Yeah, you've got to change your voice. When I have a kid in the studio, I always do the same. But it was lovely to have you on, Giselle.
Thank you
we look
so
forward
much.
To your book coming out in October, you said.
Yes, October 7th.
Thank you.
Family Matters.
so excited today because for over a year, even when I was working on Mark's show, I'd always talk to Kareem from Kids App, and he updates us on all the activities to keep the kids busy. And today, we've met face to face for the first time. Am I everything you thought I would be?
And more. It's amazing.
I'm joking. How you been, Kareem?
Amazing, actually. Really good. Had a great summer, been traveling.
Yeah, so this is what Kareem does to me, right? Which is really makes me jealous. So once he said to me, I can come on the show, but I'm on holiday. I'm like, okay, where are you? And he's literally on the phone talking to me and Mark on a hammock in the Maldives. And he sends me a picture. I was like, don't ever send me a picture again from your holidays. Where did you go this time?
So, of course, now I always make sure to send you a video.
So where were you this summer?
This trip, we went to Peru and we're in the north and hiking for 12 days in the most beautiful mountain scenery. It was really amazing.
I've always wanted to go to Peru. Why did you want to go there?
So, first of all, South America is such a beautiful country, but I've always loved mountains. I've liked climbing them, hiking through them, and it's been years since before COVID. So, yeah, that's the main reason I went to Peru.
Amazing. Okay, I didn't know you that active. I just imagined you're always on a hammock or a sunbed somewhere. So let's talk about keeping the kids busy. How have you been keeping your kids busy? Apart from taking them on holiday, what are they doing right now at the home?
Actually, I took them and I threw them on my parents in London. And that's part of the reason I was able to go to Peru. So.
Oh, you didn't take the kids with you?
Nope.
Kind of father
is that
you?
A bad example?
That's a very bad example. Let's erase that whole bit right from the podcast. Now, let's talk about taking the kids out. Let's start with there's a free meal in Abu Dhabi with the National Aquarium as well. A visit there.
So I figured now is a good time to take some time off and head over to Abu Dhabi or another town in the UAE, especially before school start again, and it's a bit of a break. So the nice thing is you can go to Abu Dhabi, take the kids to Galleria Mall there, and the kids will eat for free, 12 and under, a bunch of different restaurants, including some really well-known ones like Eat Greek, La Brioche, Nolu, Bombay Canteen. So it's a great time to go, and others. And I was thinking, make a weekend of it. And I'll tell you more about this later, but this offer is valid Monday to Fridays. And since the National Aquarium recently opened, they have 46,000 different animals.
Wow.
Yeah, and including an ocean, jungle, Arctic encounter. I think it could be a very nice, weekend away. Plus, why not combine this with a pool day? I'll talk about that more later.
I love aquariums. I went to the one in London and I loved it. I think they're really cool. Now, there's another one called... Now, this is what worries me. It's hot. Is it breakfast at the beach or breakfast on the beach?
Yeah, so it's kind of at on the beach. It is on the beach, but in the DoubleTree Hilton Beach Bar restaurant where they do a brunch buffet for breakfast. Of course, it's shaded. They have this cooling AC, and if you go in the morning, the weather's quite nice with the breeze on the beach. And when I say quite nice, I mean relatively nice, of course. And the nice thing here is you get an amazing offer through our partner Supper Club. Now, Supper Club is another website where you can make a membership and get lots of discounts at brunches and hotels and everything. And with us, what happens is you don't need to be a member with Supper Club. You pay 5 or 10 dirhams to book, and then you automatically get access to a Supper Club offer. In this case, it's actually a really good one. You get the pool, the beach, and the breakfast buffet at the Hilton all day. And it's only 99 dirham for adults instead of 225. And 75 for kids instead of 140 if you book through Kids App, of course.
And just tell everybody, remind them, especially people who don't know, what exactly is Kids App? Because this is why we're going through all these deals.
So Kids App is an app that will, I like to think saves parents' lives, and a lot of our users tell us. It's an app that allows you to find all, everything that's happening in Dubai and the UAE, actually, for kids. You can book through the app. You can usually, in most cases, we have a lot of really cool exclusive offers so you can save. And, what we really like to do is give you ideas to really spend good family time with your kids. So Kids App, it's KIDZAPP, so kids with a Z, Kids App. And you can obviously download it at any app store or Play Store or just use the website as well.
Great. Okay, let's go on to sensory activities.
So I like this one. This is one of our new partners, and I love those kind of different ideas, and I'm always trying to make sure, and the team love it as well, and that's why they include them in Kids App. So this is... over in Jumeirah Village Circle, what you do is you book a sensory activity for a kid, and it's from 6 months to 3 years, only 120 dirhams. And it includes 7 different sensory activities, including guitar time, shadow puppets, some Zumba. Of course, the mom will get involved in everything, cardboard crafts, some messy play, the usual stuff. They have professional videography there as well, so it will, you know, you'll remember the moment. And they have something called speed dating mommy style, but you'll just have to find out
what?
By going there.
That sounds fascinating. Do the daddies know the speed dating going on?
So interesting you ask. This is actually only for mommies and toddlers and younger kids, but they're creating dad's sessions. So I'm really curious about what those are.
I don't know
be
if
like.
This is a dodgy thing or a good thing, but I'm assuming it's a safe thing if it's on Kids App. All right.
Always. It's called, so this is 5 Senses Studio. More details on Kids App.
All right, amazing. Dubai Heels, obviously that's evolving in many ways. There's loads going on there.
Loads, and it's really great if, like me, you live out over in the whole Damak Hills, Dubai Hills area. Now there's a lot of new places coming up. The Dubai Hills Splash Pad, perfect this time of the year. It's shaded, so it's a cool hangout, no pun intended. It's very close to the Dubai Hills Mall, like a stone's throw away, and there's a beautiful park. So it's only, although I'm not sure it's the best time of the year to go to the park, but the splash pad is great. Our offer is 40 dirhams, plus you get free popcorn. So anybody who goes in gets free popcorn. There's also an artificial beach there that everybody can enjoy.
All right. Now, one theme park is enough for me in one day, but you're saying you can do 2.
So here's my trick. And I've been doing this in summers for the last number of years with the kids, because it's about the only way you can really enjoy theme parks when they're outdoors and in this weather. If you get the 1 day 2 parks pass, what you do is you go over to, this is for Dubai Parks and Resorts.
Okay.
You go over to Legoland Water Park. Water park in the morning, perfect weather. It's cool, not too crowded. And they have an amazing kids area where you can play. It's one of my favorite kids water play areas is in the Legoland Water Park. Then what you do at lunchtime when it starts getting hot is you go and you have lunch indoors, either at the whole, you know, they have this massive area. Oh my God, the name escapes me right now. It's just the one between Legoland and Motion Gate. And
I've been to Motion Gate. I haven't been to Legoland.
So they have this beautiful open air space around it with tons of really nice restaurants. You could either, you know, have lunch in one of them, or you can actually eat in either Legoland Water Park or your second theme park. Now, after lunch, what you do is you go to Motion Gate, and a lot of Motion Gate is indoors, especially the more fun rides, in my opinion. And after that, as it gets darker, then you do the outdoors Motion Gate ride.
Makes sense.
So that's my trick.
Makes sense. Wear comfortable shoes if you're doing that as well, people.
And the best thing is it's only $295 AED for both parks, whereas normally it's $295 just for one.
Oh, that's really good. Right, let's talk about, I know Jungle Gymsters, that's come up a few times.
Yeah, so the reason, I mean, I love those different places, and I really like places where the parents can get involved in the kids, because I'm an active parent. I love to get involved. I love fun, you know?
Yeah, and so, children keep the parents fit. That's the whole point.
Exactly. And as I found on this Peru trip, I really need to work on my fitness. So basically, it's like a family fitness center for the whole family, but it's more like fitness through play, so, and sports, right? So they have a play area, gym, karate, gymnastics, dance, Zumba, and there's a lot of these activities that they've kind of created so that the parents can participate with the kids. There's more about which ones are like that. The nice thing about our offer is you get a free trial class, and if you decide to go ahead, you also get 10% off their 10 class packages.
So we were talking at the top of the hour about the aquarium at Abu Dhabi, and you mentioned a family day pool. Now, is this the next one at the Westin related to this?
Exactly. Okay. That's what I was going to. So when you go to Abu Dhabi, you know, spend the night there as well. Why not? And then the next day you can take advantage of our pool offer at the Westin, one of the most beautiful pools around. And you can get 60% off over there. You get a free mocktail. You get 200 dirhams to spend on F&B when you pay 200 for adults. For kids, it'll be 50 dirhams, and you get 50 dirhams to spend on F&B for them as well.
Okay. I love Yas Water World. Is anything going on there?
So another 2-park pass. I'm really all about 2-park passes this summer.
2 for 1, why not?
So I would recommend using it at Yas Water World again in the morning, and just as the weather's heating up, have lunch, and then head over to Ferrari World, which is 100% indoors. Unless you're doing the big roller coaster, and then there's enough wind when you're doing the big roller coaster, I wouldn't worry.
I also remember at Wild Wadi, I used to do the nighttime, go at nighttime in the summer, and that was really nice as well.
Actually, that sounds, I've never tried that.
Oh yeah, they've done Yas Water. You can go there at nighttime, especially in the summer, and it's so much fun. You just, you know, there's a different feel than the daytime, and the water's a little bit cooler, but it just is so much easier on the skin.
Okay, well, that's something I think we should also talk about on the app.
Yes,
so thank you.
Add that onto Kids App. You can just credit me for that. All right, what about, I want to talk about family camps.
Okay, so, I mean, summer is, I don't like to say it, almost over. There's a few weeks left to still enjoy. And, you know, what better way to enjoy than to put your kids in the camp and spend time with your spouse, right? So the first one I want to talk about is the Splash and Party Summer Camp over in Safa, ages 4 to 10. We've got 15% off there. It's 153 per day or 509 for the week. And basically, I mean, for those who don't know Splash and Party, it's really been a feature of Dubai for years. It's a fantastic place. It's a small water park for the younger kids. It is like, you know, when you go to the big water parks, it's like just the kids' part of that big water park. But they also have entertainment and meals. So the camp includes water games, table tennis, zip line, dancing, and a yummy meal, plus other stuff, which you can read about in Kids Up.
I love zipliners. Right, what else? Oh, there's loads of camps going on. What other ones do we have?
So many. Actually, we made a huge effort this summer to really go and try and catch every camp that we really believe in and to get an offer for them. So Air Maniacs have a great camp. Air Maniacs are over in El Kuz. They also have two branches in Abu Dhabi. Yas Mall, Marina Mall. Beautiful inflatable park. A lot of fun actually for adults and kids. So the camp is ages 3 to 12 and it runs a half day from 8:30 to 2 p.m. They've got magic show, arts and crafts, dance, games and prizes, you know, on the inflatable. Of course, you have access to the inflatable, boxing classes, lunch, and it's 163 per day and weekly 674. It's currently 10% off on Kids Up.
Well, running out of time, and if we want to find out more, where do we go again? Remind everybody.
So I would say you always go to Kids Up, and that's KIDZAPP. You can download it on any app store. It really is one of those, and it will save your summer and save your planning time as a parent.
Yeah, and if you can't find anything on Kids Up that keeps your kids busy, do what Kareem does. Drop the kids off at the grandparents and fly off to Peru. Make sure you tune in to Afternoons with Helen Farmer every weekday from 2 to 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.